Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, July 20th, 2022, and we are reading in the Big Book on page 16, the first full paragraph through the following paragraph. Today's readers are Jody H. reading the 12 steps, Brandy M. reading the 12 traditions, reading the text Kathleen O., Penny L.C., and Leslie M. Our newcomer greeter after the meeting closes will be Tamara C. Following Tamara will be Shelley E., who will give us announcements. And thank you to Elaine for getting us started. The reference numbers for yesterday and this morning's meetings, Tuesday, July 19th, 10 a.m. meeting, Eastern Time, 19199. Or 19,199. And this morning's meeting, Wednesday, July 20th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 19205 or 19,205. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Jody H. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Jody.
Yes, good morning. My name is Jody H., and I'm a compulsive overeater. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you very much, Jody H. And I'll now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Brandy.
Good morning, it's Brandy M., recovered in Alberta, Canada. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group has but one primary purpose. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive reader who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and film. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service in our past.
Thank you, Brandy M. Okay. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinent requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 16, the first full paragraph, and I will ask Kathleen O. to get us started. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for moderating this morning. And good morning to everyone on the line. I'm Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. One poor chap committed suicide in my home. He could not or would not see our way of life. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity, but just underneath there is deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. So I love the fun and levity, because going to a vision conference when they were in New Jersey, I went to two of them. You see a lot of that, and it's really amazing. So an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. And I know when I was in the food, I was anything but pleasant. And to have others share their experience with me and support me in my recovery, you know, it was something I'd never thought or dreamed of when I just wanted to lose weight. Our struggles with them are variously strenuous, comic, and tragic. And I find that sometimes a sponsee wants to lose weight, but either they cannot or they will not see how practicing these principles in all their affairs will change their life. It's like, you know, there's no magic wand here. The recovery process is challenging, and I haven't seen anyone commit suicide, but I have seen some tragic results when people leave the program, and it always saddens me. fellowship is sharing experiences and supporting one another in recovery. And Bill W. tells his story in order to help other alcoholics understand how they might recover. And, you know, we learn how Bill was able to stay sober in his addiction through this whole story we've been reading. And even though he was a male stockbroker in the 30s, you know, I can relate to his feeling of loneliness and turning to alcohol because I always turn to food. And I can relate to his ego and justifying my life was horrible, not because of anything I did, but because things never went my way. So, you know, I can relate to the on and off again sobriety and thinking I could control the food, the remorse, the hopelessness, thinking self-knowledge was the answer. And being powerless and needing to find a power, but I didn't want to hear about religion. So I can just, this whole story has been great. And working the steps and finding peace and serenity, I mean, no wonder AA grew in the numbers and power, because it really does work. And we do find humor in this very serious disease. You know, we all share, we all understand each other like no one else does. And I really love hearing your voices every day on this meeting. I was lucky enough to find Vision the first year it started, and it was exactly what I needed, and I haven't left yet. You know, people breaking down the big book paragraph by paragraph, people who could relate to me, people I've met who I could share intimate details of my life with, and people who generally support my recovery, and I support theirs. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. I love that line. You know, faith without works is dead. I can't just believe in a power. I had to change from living on self-will to a life of living on God's will. And without faith, I would not have the confidence or trust to take action when, you know, life throws curveballs my way. And lately, I've been getting a lot of them. But I know deep down my higher power walks with me and that I'm going to survive. And I'll wrap this up, Kathy, just by saying faith has to work 24 hours. But having faith isn't enough. I have to put in the work for my life to be changed for the better. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Kathleen, for getting us started this morning. Okay, I would like to take names of people who would like to share. And please remember that although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too.
Elena C.
Bruce E.
Okay, Elena C. Bruce E.
Donna B.
Donna B. Who else would like to share?
Mo H.
Was it Low H?
Mo. M-O.
Oh, Mo. I'm sorry. Mo H. Good morning. Who else?
Eileen D.
Eileen D. We could take one more if you'd like. Okay, we have Elena C., Bruce E., Donna B., Mo H., and Eileen D. Please go ahead, Elena C.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. And this paragraph, like the first one, is reminding me how sometimes there's depression underneath addiction, and it's just as deadly as addiction itself. And how you can't work with somebody who doesn't want to do the work. And sometimes people are, you know, they just don't get see, they don't see our way of life. They, for some reason or another, some people recover, some people do not. And, you know, that's everyone's journey, and we can only live by our examples for others. And, you know, just this, this idea of how AA came into life by just spreading the word and attraction rather than promotion, how at the base of everything for me is my relationship with my higher power that has to be enriched every day. And I enrich it by just simply, you know, dial this number and read and listen to the meeting. I haven't shared in a while for some reason, but the Bill W. story is impressive and inspiring. And he himself suffered of depression. And, you know, it was numbing himself with alcohol. But the relationship with his higher power working on the strap has helped his depression as well. And I am very glad to be here with that op-ed.
Thank you very much, Elena C. Bruce E., please share with us.
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, hi. Bruce, recovered food addict in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area. And thank you, everybody on the line. And I like this, that we can have fun with this thing. You know, and we do at the meetings. You know, we laugh, have fun, have a good time. And but it says up above there, that up above this one, this paragraph we're talking about here, the alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. It's a very, very sobering, and like it says here, there's a deadly earnestness in this. But It's not when a disease is active, it's not a fun disease to look at. It's not a fun thing. But coming out of it, then it can be. And we can start having fun and laugh and, you know, joke about it, even joke about it, because it says this levity. It says, I suppose some would be shocked at our seeming worldliness and levity. So that's levity would be treating a serious matter with humor. So it's a serious matter, but I can have fun with it and joke around about it now that I'm recovered. And, you know, like two guys came out of a restaurant. One guy's really heavy, standing beside each other, talking outside the restaurant, heavy guy and a skinny guy. And the heavy guy, really heavy guy, looks at the real skinny guy and he says, "Man, looks like you've been through a famine." And the skinny guy looks at the fat guy and he says, "Yeah, it looks like you're the one that caused it." So, you know, that's, we have fun with this thing. And I'm glad today. I feel good. I'm glad that I'm recovered. It's been a long journey to get to this place. Man, it's been a long, tough journey. And I've been that alcoholic in their cups, a food addict in his cups, this unlovely creature. I've been there. And I'm not there now because I've come out of that. I got a sponsor, worked steps, got recovered, the obsession and compulsion lifted, and I'm a free man now. But I still have to work on this thing. You know, the ego comes up, you have to surrender that. Fear comes up. I had a minor surgery yesterday and had a lot of fear going into that. Did a lot of surrendering, did a lot of 10 steps on that. And even today I've got some fear, so I've been doing some surrendering today. So, you know, I have to continue to work on this buildup of emotions as it comes up and through these 10 steps and get rid of that stuff. Faith has to work 24 hours a day. I can't be faithful, you know, to my higher power and you guys at 10 o'clock here in Eastern time, you know, and then at 11 o'clock, give it all up and go back to my old worldly, fleshly self. You know, I got to stay in this thing in the spirit to some degree, you know, all the time. I got to work on this thing all the time. It takes a lot of work to stay, even stay sober. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to get here. It takes a lot of work to stay here. And, yeah, well, thanks, everybody, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Donna B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver. Thank you, everybody, for your service. I'm really grateful to be here and to have the opportunity to share. Struggling and strenuous and tragic. Those are words that I have experienced as a sponsor. And over the last few days, I've had the opportunity to speak with one of my sponsees who has been struggling with her sponsee. And one of the things that always strikes me about the big book is that there's an entire chapter on working with others, and that the concept of working with others is mentioned over and over and over again in every single chapter. I think, and I am not an expert on this, but I think I heard somebody say that working with others is mentioned 124 times in the first 164 pages. And although that number may or may not be accurate, I know from my own experience, it's a lot, whatever that number actually is. And I think it speaks to Bill's understanding that being the position of working with others, although the bright spot in our lives, is challenging. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Mo H., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Mo H. Good morning. Mo H. here, recovered compulsive eater, sugar addict in Northern California. Thanks, everybody, again for your service. Thanks for the shares. It's always helpful to just study each one of these paragraphs by paragraphs. I'm starting my timer here. Sorry about that. Anyway, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovingly creature. I've heard cups described as in his drunkenness or in my compulsive eating mode. And when I'm in that mode, I'm not a very lovely person to be around. And I would sometimes be told that, you know, Mom, you're being really mean, or you're being really hard on us. And, you know, I was just wanting them to get out of the way so I could have my food. But the other thing I wanted to focus in on is faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. And I have next to that through work and action. So this isn't a program that I come into and just sit back and listen to everybody else. It's a program where I need to really be conscious, be present for every minute of the day. And, you know, in the last 2 years, my faith has waned a bit since my husband passed. I was in and out of grief and anger and all of that that goes along with that. And, you know, slowly, slowly, with the help of all of you and this particular meeting and my friends in my meetings around here, that God presume that we could continue to have meetings, that I have slowly, slowly been revived and returning to acceptance on life, on life's terms, and working my program. You know, I had gotten really sloppy about working my program, and I need to work it every day. And I have a ritual that I follow, and I let that go because I was just feeling sorry for myself. Well, that doesn't work for me. I have to just one day at a time, just take it one day at a time, even one feeling, one emotion at a time, and surrender it to God, to my God. You know, this is the program that it's very different than any other program I've ever been in because there's all these components to it. It's not only physical, but it's also emotional and spiritual. And I have to work all three parts of that program every day, making outreach calls, which I had gotten slack on, and I'm back doing it again, enjoying talking and listening to other people, having sponsees, and all of the above. You know, I really appreciate each and every one of you, and with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks so much, Mo H. Eileen D., please share with us.
Hey, good morning. This is Eileen D. from Maryland. Good morning, fellows. It's always good to listen to a vision for you and get the kind of encouragement from all of you. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And, you know, the first paragraph talks about the struggles and some of the tragedy that happens with our disease. And for me, I experienced two wonderful men, one in the program, one I never could get to the program. But it's okay. It wasn't my job. It was my job to just share. Both of whom died untimely deaths. And it was very sad. And so what I did with all of that is I had to go and draw from the source, the well of my higher power to figure out what was going on with me. And what I realized is that when I was in the food, my higher power let me know that when I was in the food, I was poor. I was impoverished. I had a physical, spiritual, and emotional illness that was just like I was poverty-stricken. And what brought me out of that was that from poverty, I came to faith. And just as today, faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. I realized that my job was to accept the gift of faith, to move in a way that helped me to work my steps, help to talk to folks, to share. And that faith has grown not because of anything I've done, but because I've embraced the program. So that was a beautiful kind of a turnaround to the impoverishment that I felt when I first came in. And then the second thing is that there is some fun. You know, as I began to go to meetings, I also would go to AA meetings because there were some well-known speakers. And there was one guy, Sandy B., and he had, the meeting was filled at a hospital in our town and on Saturday, and it was a rollicking time. I mean, we had laughter and coffee, and the AA folks had food. That used to crack me up. And we OA folks would sit there and just laugh. But it was so bright because they had been through so much. And here we were together and we were unified. And so that was a very lovely way for me to embrace the light that my God has given me. And thanks to you guys, I am here saying not because of anything I've done, but because of who he is and who you are. So thanks a lot, and thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Eileen D. Okay, for those of you who may have joined us late, we are now sharing on the first two full paragraphs on page 16 of Bill's story. So I'd like to take some more names from people who haven't shared in the last 2 days. Who would like to share?
Ann M. Washington.
Was that Sharon M.? Is that Sharon?
Ann M.
Oh, Ann. Thank you, Ann.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, who else would like to share?
Elaine B.
Elaine B.
Robin P.
Robin P.
Darcy M.
Darcy M.
Annabelle Z.
Annabelle Z.
Liz E.
Liz E. Okay, let's stop there and we'll see if we have more time after that. Please go ahead, Ann M.
Hi, everybody. This is Ann from the state of Washington. Just these two little paragraphs remind me of the depression that Bill wrote about in 1958, in January of the Grapevine, and he said, he was talking about emotional sobriety, and this is one of my favorite parts, because Bill realized then that he was depressed, and he needed the right mental conviction, and because he said he finally realized after reading the St. Francis prayer, better to be comforted than to be comforted, that he realized that his basic flaw was always dependence, almost absolute dependence on people or circumstances to supply him with prestige, security, and the like. And failing to get these things, he saw that he had perfectionist dreams and specifications. And I can so understand that. And then he was depressed because of this. And so that really spoke to me when he started talking about this poor chap that committed suicide. What else is that, perhaps, but from depression? I don't know. But, you know, then he talks right away about the fun and the, you know, worldliness, he says, and the levity that come, you know, out of meetings, but it covers, you know, the seriousness that I deal with this disease. And to realize that, I need to know that this is a life and death disease. And I don't often hear that, but it's true for me. Spiritual death can occur, physical, emotional. I mean, it's just, this is such a wonderful way of life for me right now, and has been for a long time. And I just wouldn't give it up. I love everybody here, and I appreciate all you share, because it helps me, and hopefully I can pass on that to others. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ann. Elaine B., please share with us.
Thank you so much for your beautiful service, Kathy K. All righty. An alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it again, because when I fell into relapse, I remember having a little tug of war with my sponsor about having something I shouldn't have and committing wine as fruit. And she didn't think it was a very good idea. And that was the beginning of lurch into a very awful relapse, during which about, 7 or 8 months into it, my husband wrote me a letter and he said, "You have taken on a new lover and it's food. Divorce isn't an option for us, but we're just going to live separately in this house." I mean, I was an unlovely creature and I just didn't even know it. I had no idea until my brain was defogged when I found a vision for you. And that same sponsor was right here doing the stuff. Thank you very much. What an incredible gift. So, you know, and the thing is about it, once we get in here and we do the work, actually, you know, after our wedding, a dear friend of mine did die from her obesity. She died in her sleep, and it is so sad. I had a message on my phone from her that she had got a trainer and she was going to start exercising just like 2 days before. And, you know, if you're here and you need this program, boy, grab hold. It isn't easy, but this next part is really a promise too, that there's a lot of fun about it all. I mean, to be able to have friends that you can spill your guts with and then laugh and then just go have fun, you know, because we have a solution here now. We have found that there's a power greater than ourselves and a community that gets this, that we can walk with day by day, 24/7. And, you know, that's what this faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. Because if we are not working our faith, if we're not aware that God can solve our problems, he's going to use the steps to help, that God can give us a better solution than the food that will have a much greater outcomes. But we have to have faith that this will help. We have to have the faith to go to God. We have to have the faith to admit our faults. We have to have the faith to go and face that person that we've harmed and make amends. I found that letter a year later, and when I found it, I was like shocked, a year after I got recovered, and I hid it away. And then I found it another year later, and by that time, the steps had changed me so much, my husband didn't even remember writing it. And this can happen for you, too. And I will pass with that. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Elaine B. Robin P., please share with us.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Palm Beach, Florida, normally in Costa Rica. And, oh my gosh, an alcoholic in his cups is an unlovely creature. Oh dear. You know, any bulimic or compulsive overeater with their head in the bowl is definitely an unlovely creature. And been there, and I'm so grateful to be abstinent. And to have abstinence for the past 6 years through the grace of God in this program. And, you know, I think someone's unmuted if you just want to check your mute status. And the one poor chap who committed suicide in his home, you know, wow, doing service. And imagine doing 12-step work and somebody committing suicide in your home. Wow. Oh, gosh, I just cannot imagine that. But I know that they went to any lengths to help people to the best of their ability. And I also love that it says faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us or we perish. That is a very powerful statement. We literally perish if faith is not working. Faith is our oxygen. And, you know, I believe this whole recovery is a faith walk. You know, I'm about to have surgery on the 29th. It got postponed until the 29th. And, of this month, and we're flying to Dallas again for me to have it, and I'm, you know, half here, and I just get to have faith. And I also wanted to say that I'm in another program, and my sponsor of 5 years in that program was one of the founders of that program, and he just died 2 days ago from a blood clot. And I just know that he was also in this program. And he was abstinent and doing so well. And I feel really saddened, but I also just know that there are many of us who do so much service, and it keeps us going. And, you know, I feel him with me. And I just wanted to say that even after, you know, someone goes to be with God, I still feel him with me. And last night my phone came on. My phone was off, and it came on and started playing his favorite song. And wow, how did that happen? So God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Robin P. Darcy M., please share with us. Darcy?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, this is Darcy M. from Nebraska, compulsive overeater. I was struggling for a couple of days. Well, actually, I'm still struggling. I had lost my abstinence for a few days, and I found my way back after I was talking with a friend that could help my brain settle down. And realized that I had not been working the program and I had not put my faith in my higher power. And I was not a very pretty person during this time period. I was very ugly. And my friends, they could see there was something going on with me, but they really didn't know what it was. And I didn't like the way I felt either. So after I got abstinent again, and now today is going on my third day, I'm feeling much better, but it's just miraculous when you do that first part in the morning. That was always the hard part for me because I thought I didn't have to do the morning prayers, the morning ritual, but I guess I have to. And I have to get more sleep at night too, because if I don't get the sleep at night, then I can't do it. And it's because of the faith, I have to have that faith in 24 hours. And I don't even know if I'm making any sense here today, but I just know that something today seems to be working better today in the last couple days that has really been feeling much better. So that's just what I wanted to pass on. So I'll pass with that, and I thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much, Darcy M. Please keep coming back. And now, Annabelle Z., please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Annabelle Z., calling from Washington State, recovered compulsive overeater. And I am so grateful to be on the line today. I love this. These two paragraphs really stood out to me because when I first came into OA in my 20s, I had so much shame around food. So much shame, so much so that I just couldn't even share. I couldn't talk about it. And I met a woman who was also in AA, but she had so much shame about being in AA. But food, she was like, oh, yeah, this is, well, you know, we overeat. That's what we do. And I'm like, what? It just was so confusing. But I related it backwards because I was in AA, and I glorified alcohol still, even early in my sobriety. And so I didn't have a lot of shame around drinking because I hid under the, oh, aren't I so great I drank so much, aren't I fun? Because I did not do that with food. My food was secretive. I was just a ball of, and it was just ugly, you know, like everybody's talked about. And so if you're at that place where it's still in that real shame about compulsive overeating, and the gentleman who rightly so made a joke, right? It is fun to know that we do get to a place where we can be, where we can joke and laugh at our tragic experiences. Because if we can't get there and it's all solemn and glum and boring and sad, why would we do this? And so I really appreciate that. I have this analogy in my head of my father just passed away, and we just planned a beautiful memorial service and funeral. It was amazing. And to honor him, we had what he would want. And part of that funeral was a beautiful, solemn, very real and deep eulogy. And then I recited the cremation of Sam McGee, which sounds like the most morbid thing ever. If anyone knows that Robert Service poem, I love this guy getting stuffed in a furnace in Alaska. And it's very humorous, and we had to have some levity, and it was so appropriate because if anyone knew my dad, they would know he would want humor at his funeral. So it's kind of the same thing. We have this earnestness, this deadly earnestness that we have to work with each other and have faith through God, but to continue to do that work and carry this message to other compulsive overeaters. Otherwise we perish. But at the same time, it's a both. We can also be lighthearted about it and joke like, yep, that's what I did too. Because it's otherwise we would perish as well. Like, we just can't be depressed about how awful this disease is. So I hope that made sense. I just feel the importance of having both is really important for my my sobriety and my abstinence. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Annabelle Z. Liz E., please share with us.
Hi, I'm Liz E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New York State, and I wanted to share about the humor aspect, too. A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. That's what I thought. And I'm just going to reread a portion of what we read just to kind of ground the context of what I want to share. There is, however, a vast amount of fun about it all. I suppose some would be shocked with our seemingly worldliness and levity, but just beneath the surface, there is a deadly earnestness. Faith has to work 24 hours a day in and through us, or we perish. I know for me, to share my character defects was a hard thing to do, but if I could share it with them with someone who understood, and I can insert humor in it, that made a huge difference to me. Do I want to, like, beat myself up over my character defects and my shortcomings, or do I want to say, this is just part of the human condition, you know, and just accept that I'm not perfect and I'm going to make mistakes. And with irony, there's great humor. And I love it that I could share with a fellow about maybe some awkward situation about bringing my own food to a party. You know, I could either feel shameful about that, or I could just, like, bring it up in the open, share it with a fellow, and laugh about it. And the sting of, you know, potential embarrassment just isn't there when I can share things that once made me so ashamed in a way that's humorous with someone else who can laugh about it. You know, they're not laughing at me, they're laughing with me. And there might be people who don't understand that would laugh at me, but I don't care because I've gotten strength from my fellows to just deal with it, to see the humor in it, to see the human condition. And, you know, like I said, you know, that other famous quote, like, a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. I could take the tough things, the hard things, the bitter things of this program, but there's also some humor in it. There's levity. There's something sweet. And the something sweet is the connection that I can have with my fellows when I share that thing that I could be so ashamed of. But instead, I just decide to see humor in it. And humor has just helped me so much. I might have a self-depreciating humor in some people's eyes, and I really don't care. I don't share that type of humor with certain people, but to be able to share it with my fellows is something that bonds me to them and helps me feel connected. And with that, I'll close. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Liz E. Well, it's now time to bring the meeting to a close. I want to thank everybody who's been here listening and sharing. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164 and then follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Penny C., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Hi, Penny.
Hi, Kathy. Thank you. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.